how she deals with your farts.
You know, I just deal with it.
Why don't you ask me how I deal with her farts?
Do you fart?
Sometimes.
Yesterday, her stomach was growling. And she's like, I feel like my stomach hurts. And I was like, maybe you got to fart. And she's like, how do I fart? So I remembered a TikTok I watched where they made babies fart. And I did that to her. I did the whole moving her legs back and forth and like scrunching her to make her fart.
But then I kept laughing. So then we had to like take a break because it was too bad. I couldn't stop laughing. So then it kept going away.
And it happened.
And then it happened.
It happened.
It happened.
It had volume, but it didn't have scent.
Alex! You just farted, y'all.
I was trying to give you an example. That was a perfect tone of what happened with her.
We're going to have to pause production to clear the room.
No, you know that doesn't happen all the time.
Directly after it happened, he literally put his face next to my butthole and tried to smell it, but there was no smell.
There's nothing.
Oh, true love.
I was like trying to lick the air.
He did.
Trying to like get any hint of it. And I
feel
couldn't.
He's not sure if we're serious or not, but we're doing.
I know,
serious.
I'm pretty sure you're serious.
I know, yeah,
you do, serious. He would do that. Alex is
I put
pretty,
my face right up in there.
He did.
I was trying to.
You're so interesting.
I feel like it just brings us closer. What else could happen?
No, that's good. I love that.
So if we ever get in a lineup and they're like, I have to like identify her by farts, I can do it.
No, that's not going to happen. And when will that happen in your life?
You never know, man. There's a lot of universes out there.
Anyways.
All right, well. So you guys, you two have been dating for...
Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We up there. You know what else happened 2 years ago?
What?
My first boxing match.
Mm-hmm. Wait, really?
I just got notified like a week ago. It was like 2 years since my boxing match. I was like, whoa, I thought that was like 3 years ago.
Versus Deji?
Yeah.
Whoa.
We started talking like a couple, maybe like a week or two after that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did too. With Alex? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I re-entered back into his life.
I sensed it.
So you're competing. He's farting! He's farting!
Way, you guys!
Alex!
You guys!
You want to just pause?
That was when?
You want to
know? What is Chick-fil-A, man?
Alex!
It was Chick-fil-A!
You
that was
to
a
pause
bad
too,
guys.
So you want to go take a shit?
I don't know what's going on. I should go to the doctor.
What's wrong? Are you nervous?
No.
That was a bad one.
That was
loud.
I am a little nervous.
Yeah!
But what would you say is the most struggle you had with guava juice?
I think the haters.
Yep.
Number one.
When did that start happening? After you popped off, obviously.
Well, there was a time where I made the trending page every single other 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 days, I'm just on the trending page over and over and over and over. And on the trending page, everyone has access to the trending page. So people with different audiences than just, you know, kid audiences would see it. And they would be like, who is this guy? Why does he deserve to be on the trending page? Blah, blah, blah. I get jealous, whatever. And that's when people started making like, just like critique videos / hate videos. Like, who's guava juice? Blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know how to handle that because I never seen hate specifically from other YouTubers.
Yeah.
It's always just comments. But then when other YouTubers dedicate a video just to diss on me, I didn't know how to deal with that. So I was like, oh man, what if, am I doing the right thing? Is guava juice actually bad? It got in my head.
You know what is crazy about that?
What?
You popped off, become wildly successful because you're following trends. And then the trend was to bash on other creators that were doing super well so that you got success. So you took advantage of trends, but then trends backfired on you.
Whoa.
Because that became a trend. Because all these hate channels and drama-related channels started popping off by talking shit about other YouTubers. That's crazy. Circle
Whoa,
of life.
That's meta, bro.
Yeah.
I don't like the aura, bro.
So what happened? What did you do? You just internally like
internally,
hated it?
Internally, I was like...
You never acted on it.
No, I was just self-conscious.
I do remember you tweeting how much you hated being on the trending page.
Yeah.
And I remember being confused as to why. And then I don't know if you remember this because you were distracted by the hate, but did it help your views at all?
The what? The trending page?
Yeah.
I don't think it did, honestly.
Because
if you're on the trending page,
yeah,
people who don't know or like that specific content will just click away.
But what about the people? Oh, but what about the people that do? It didn't bring more audience, more subscribers, more views.
The people did that who knew me already watched the video. But the new people who don't know me watch 2 seconds of the video and click away, which tanks the video because the watch time isn't like long. The watch time went from like 50% to like 10.
Oh, so it hurt more than
it hurt more, which kind of backfired because the videos that were posted after that video tanked also because that video tanked.
Dang. You didn't go to your YouTube manager and be like, hey, can you tell them I don't want to be? And like, this is why, because of this and this and this.
I did not have a YouTube manager. So dang. I had an agent be like, hey, can you if you have any contacts from YouTube, can you please tell them to ban me? Mm-hmm. They never did. I don't think they have control on that. It's just like, if your video performs, your watch time performs great, CTR is great, your trending page.
You know, I it kind of makes sense because as an adult now, if I watch a lot of like behind the scenes stuff, like actors, interviews, like their experiences, their life, all that stuff. I watch a lot of that. I watch a lot of bloopers. And so if I'm on the trending page and it's like they put Teletubbies in front of me. And I'm like, why are they recommending Teletubbies to me?
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, why does this keep popping up?
Yeah.
How do I make it so it doesn't, or say I'm not interested? And they didn't have that option. So they just had to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dang.
So that was it. That was the time where I experienced like actual hate from like other creators. Mm-hmm. I'm used to it now just because I understand like their point of view. Yeah. Like, oh, I get it. You're like, oh, you just, you know, it pops up. You're like, ah, I don't like it. I'll just make some stuff.
Yeah.
And then you pointed out the trending was the trending for me, the trending.
Yeah.
So the trending made them trending because I was trending.
Because anything guava juice, if you put guava juice in the title, it's going to pop up. And then even like your audience would click on that and they love it. And then they see your name on something else and it's something negative. And they're like, oh, let me find out about that. And then like, oh. So you've probably even lost people because they're like, oh, other people don't like him. Maybe I shouldn't like him.
Yeah, just bandwagoning. They brainwashed my audience to not like me because they like, oh, they don't, he's loud. It's like, you're right. He is loud.
Yeah.
That's my persona, dude.
Dang.
And people don't understand like how to separate, you know, the persona and like the actual person itself. So entertainment, man. Would you want to live till you're 100?
Depends on my health. If I'm rickety, if I'm a burden on people, that's the main thing. I don't want to be a burden on people. Like my parents and a lot of people I talk to, they're like, you better never put me in a retirement home or a nursing home. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Why so?
Because then all your friends are right down the hall. You got activities, they feed you, you have your own space too. I used to work at a retirement home and it was cool. Sometimes I worked in the dining area and sometimes they would order it, so you had to bring it to their room, and you'd go up there. They're just watching their favorite shows,
having sex,
hanging out. Yep, they do that too.
They do a lot of sex. They're just like the Olympic boarding houses. The same thing with retirement homes. Sex.
Yeah, because I worked there, and it's very common to have Alzheimer's or dementia, or you forget that you're married and your wife. You forget you have a wife. You forget you have a husband. So you just. Everybody's hooking up.
Is that true? Like, since you work in a retirement home, have you experienced people having sex or did you participate? What's the story? Like, well, is it true?
Participate?
Like, did you not? Yeah.
No.
But did you experience?
I mean, I heard stories from other people that worked there for a long time. I worked there for like a year.
Yeah.
But I would hear stories and then you would see these old people flirting and stuff. Oh. And then I would be like, wait, he has a wife. But he doesn't remember that he has a wife. And then the wife doesn't remember. She probably sees him and is like, dang, he's a good looking dude.
Damn,
but she's married to him. She doesn't even know.
I see why you want to go to retirement home now, Alex.
It was crazy, man.
Yeah.
There was one time, it was like a bunch of widow ladies.
Yeah.
They're sitting at this table. And I was just a waiter. And this guy walks in and he has a cane. He has like a slick walk. And he's like, what's up, ladies? And they're like, what's up, Kenneth? And they're like, dang, are those new shoes? And he's like, oh, these old things? And they were New Balances.
Hey, man, New Balances are nice nowadays.
Yeah, they were just like arch support, very like, very like, I don't know. It was just funny seeing how impressed they were and how they flirt. And Every once in a while, when I got a chance, I would sit down with one of them and while they're eating, and I would just ask their life story. There's a lot of there is like millionaires live there.
Oh,
like, it was an expensive retirement home, mm-hmm. and they were talking about one person was like a pilot back in the day. There were some Olympians that were like, they're like old and rickety and like you need a walker, but they were like, oh, I was the number one this like pole vaulter and whatever, or number one javelin thrower in 1950. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Did you believe them? Do you think they're telling the truth?
I think so. They showed me pictures.
Because sometimes whenever I don't know people, I'll just make up stories, make up my names.
Yeah.
Like whenever people ask me what my names are in this, like the supermarket or the grocery store, like, can I get a name? It's Oscar.
Sometimes when I go to grocery stores or I know I'm going to have a short encounter with somebody, I'll change my accent. I'll do a country accent or British accent because they don't know.
I did that once in Florida. I visited Monette in Florida. Mm-hmm. I went to Orlando. I was like, I'm going to have a British accent because I'm like Filipino and like in Florida and mm-hmm. they'll be confused. I did my accent in Target. And I was like, can I please get a bag of ice? They're like, oh, where are you from?
Mississippi.
They did not care.
Was Monette there?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, that's your wife.
That's my wife.
Yeah, for the viewer, for audience listeners or viewers.
Yeah. So I would want to live till I'm 100.
Well.
I think I'm going to do everything in my power to stay healthy. Because you know the secret to living to 100?
Working out.
Yes, but specifically strong legs.
Strong legs, yeah.
Okay.
You just got to use it or lose it.
Because once your legs stop working, once you get in a cane or a wheelchair, oof, your life is going straight to death.
I saw this thing, and they were like, this is a human heart, and it's pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, when this thing starts pumping, you're alive. When it stops, you're dead. And I was like, dang, that is so true. And your heart pumps when you're sleeping, when you're awake. Every single second you're alive, your heart is pumping nonstop, never resting. Crazy. That's
subconscious. You know what we lose? As humans, we lose on average one heartbeat per minute every single year.
Oh, really?
That's right. That's true.
That's crazy.
So, you know, by the time, you know, like whenever old people go on walks or that's their workout,
mm-hmm.
it's because that is hard to do because your heartbeat is not that much anymore.
Yeah.
So,
dang, that's crazy.
So our jogging now is equivalent to an 80-year-old's walking. That's the same like effort they perceive whenever they do that exercise. Crazy. Yeah.
So when you get a heart transplant, is it like you're reset?
I don't know. Because really
all the other things are still old. Mm-hmm. So the heart is new, but it probably can't run as efficiently because everything else is old. But
I don't think so. I think that's dangerous because that heart isn't used to your entire body.
Yeah.
Do you know what your blood type is?
Red.
Hey.
Libido. That's a cool name.
It's a cool name.
I've never met anybody. Yeah, I've always liked your last name. Even in high school, I was like, what? That's my favorite last name.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Libido. It's Portuguese, I think.
Oh, it is?
I think so. Because we got conquered by Portugal, and then they just like, dick libido.
What's the like most common American last name? Smith?
Smith, I think.
Smith. What's China?
Wu.
I don't know.
I bet it's Wang.
I think it's Wu or Wang.
Wang or like Lee.
I know Filipino, it's Garcia. Oh no, or Dela Cruz. One of those.
Dela Cruz.
Wang and Lee are shared over.
Oh, there you go. See,
oh, Wang.
I know a lot. I mean, out of my experience with Chinese friends or Chinese acquaintances that I've had, there's probably like 15 in my life where like I've talked to them, like where we had a conversation. We were actually friends.
Yeah.
And five of them had to be Wang.
Wang.
Like, it's very common. What about Mexico? What do you think? What do you think their most common last name?
Hernandez.
Hernandez for
sure.
100%.
I know a lot of Hernandezes.
100% Hernandez.
What about Japan? I bet it's Lee. With an I.
I'm gonna say Japan. What's your guess?
I don't know.
I'm gonna say
Lee or
Takahashi
or Sato.
Sato is popular.
That's a common
cool last
one.
Name, though. That sounds
that's
really
a great
cool.
last name. Yeah. I like that.
Otani, I think.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, yeah. Wait, are you looking that up?
Yeah, they
Say-
oh! Why are you so good?
That's like cool, you like researched name.
This beforehand, no?
No, this just this is my life experience, like with friends.
Whoa!
I'm like, oh, I know a lot of Satos if they're Japanese. What about like what's another like Russia?
I really wouldn't know that at all.
I don't know, man.
Vladimir is a first name. I bet it's like Smirnoff. not the drink.
Smirnoff?
No, Smirnoff.
I'm gonna say Grof.
I don't have a guess. I don't really know much of like
I don't either. We're
last
just
names,
guessing.
Yeah.
This is from personal experience.
It's Ivanov.
Oh, that is definitely.
I have heard that last name.
What, Petrov? That's see, Smirnov is like in that realm.
No, that's. Oh, no way! I thought you were just pulling things
up. Yeah, I thought so too.
So I met the amount of times we've talked about how our paths could have crossed is insane. Like, I remember meeting Yusef at a VidCon, and I remember him being surrounded by really tall people.
That was us.
That was Aaron, but I didn't meet Aaron. And then, like, you know, we've been to so many VidCon, so many Playlist Live events, just never crossed paths. I was literally at his apartment, never met him. Literally 30 minutes after I left, he showed up. Like, that's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, literally, if there's anything to, like, have hope about, it's like all in the timing, right?
Yeah,
for sure. So when you guys saw each other at LAX, like, what was the interaction? Were you like, oh, I know you. You met Guppy, right? Or what was...
Swoozy introduced us. I didn't know that they were the Merrill twins. The only thing I knew about the Merrill twins was that you and Lauren would be like, Aaron, you should date one of the Merrill twins. They're just like you. They're so nice and funny. You should date one of the Merrill twins. You told me that like 3 times.
Me and Lauren were like, we just like hung out with you guys a couple times. And we're like, man, like, because Aaron just got to... California, and he still had the innocent East Coast-ness, and we're like, man, they're so innocent, and Aaron is so innocent. They're both just good people. I bet they would get along, but maybe is he too old? I don't think so.
That's what I thought too. When I first met them, I was like, they're never going to be interested, or she's never going to be interested in me. But question, when you thought of the Merrill twins, did you think of Ronnie as being the one?
Which
for
one?
Because they always ask me, I was like, I don't know which one he meant. He just said Merrill twins.
So back then I meant either one, but I didn't know you guys that well. Now knowing both of you guys, 100% Ronnie.
Okay, yeah.
Like nothing's wrong with Nessa. It's just like matchup wise, it's you guys for
sure. We're both
sure.
Goofy.
Yeah, yeah. Goofy looking.
But when I first met Aaron, like my first impression was like, hi, nice to meet you, looking up at him. And then Susie was like, this is Alex's brother. So like, you are so nice and so friendly. And I immediately assumed he was so nice and friendly. And I was like, I want to be around this person, because if he's anything like his brother, that means he's a great guy. So thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember you guys came back and we heard that you guys like hit it off. And we were like, we knew it.
We told you so.
What's the height difference?
I'm 6, I'll just say 6'3". Okay. Sometimes I'm 6'4".
I think you're more 6'4".
On a good day.
Okay. So what's the height difference, a foot?
I'm 5'2", over a foot.
Oh,
right?
14.
Yeah.
Cool. 14 inches, nice.
Unless she wears high heels.
Yeah.
It's closer.
Or my platform shoes. It gives me a reason.
Aw.
Nice.
So when you were in DC, so you were LAX, and then did it just like the spark just happen, and then throughout the plane ride, or did it not...
Didn't talk to her at all on the plane. She did give me one of the best compliments I've ever heard.
Oh.
She said I looked like an anime character on the bus.
Oh.
He did. He looked like it was like an anime movie scene. He was all alone, sitting across from all of us, and he was just on his phone, and like the trees were going by, and I was like, wow, that looks like an anime movie scene.
You were like, that is the cutest loser I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You say loser?
Loser. All by himself. So.
I think I was watching anime on my phone at the time, too.
Aw.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then what happened, you guys, after... Wait, you got on the bus from where?
From the airport in D.C. Yeah.
And then that's where you were just...
So we got back to the hotel, and when we landed at the airport, Aaron was like... I was like, where do we go? And I started getting anxious because I get anxiety. And then Aaron was like, I think we go this way. And I was like, wow, he's a leader.
Who could lead a whole family?
I was like, oh my gosh, I like this guy. And then we got to the hotel... And I went to Swoozie, and I was like, is he single? And Susie, in very Susie manner, was like, why do you ask?
Yeah.
And I was like, because I think he's cute and I want to know if he's single. And he was like, I think so. Yeah, he is. And I was like, okay. And so then I just kept talking to the whole night, and then we like had a chance to sit next to each other. And like, my way of flirting is very like not flirtatious at all. Like I did leg touching.
You didn't pick that up?
He thought I had personal space issues.
I did. I was like, why are you so close to me? I mean, like, I didn't think she was gonna like, remember, I wasn't even supposed to go to Playlist. Swoozy made me go to be his wingman.
Yeah, and then I couldn't go for some reason either.
Yeah, you had to film something.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So you weren't there?
No, I was not.
Oh, wow. You were there.
No, I didn't even hear about it until you got back.
Oh.
Yeah, I was 100% not going. And he was like, man, I need a wingman. Come on, it'll be fun. And then that first night, I met her, and then I wasn't his wingman.
Oh, you just left him?
Yeah. I left him with Matt Centaro.
Ah, cool.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him, yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it.
I took, so she had just turned 21, and we went to a bar, and Susie bought everybody drinks. And remember, you and Nessa didn't want to take your shots that he gave you, so I drank them. I drank them for them.
Yeah. What's the age difference again? So it's 7 years, 6 years?
Seven. I was 21. You were 27.
Yeah.
Oh, no, me and Alexis are 6 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To be fair, he didn't look like he was about to be 28. So
yeah,
we didn't talk about
age. I had no idea how old he was. He didn't know how old I was.
I didn't know.
We just like fell in love, and then we found out, and we were like, oh.
We're just a couple cradle robbers out here.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Would you eat me?
Yes.
All right, if I die,
yes,
I want you to eat a part of me.
Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
You want me to film it? Like, hey, this is Alex Wasabi.
No, just keep a personal thing.
Okay, personal.
Yeah,
sorry,
just by
guys.
Yourself. Don't tell anybody. Just, you gotta, like, when I'm, like,
you
in
want
my casket, you have to go up and you have to
Shut
pretend
up.
You're going to kiss me on the forehead and cut a piece off.
Oh, where? Your forehead? So, I'm going to just cut your forehead? No one's going to know.
No, you got to cut, like, I don't know, but... No, we'll get a contract signed.
That's only...
I'll have my lawyer, I'll have consent. You can eat a part of me.
That's only if you die first.
Yeah.
If I die first, I can't do that.
Yeah, because you're dead.
Yeah.
So you want me to eat you?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, we'll have a contract, and then when... You do eat me or I eat you. We both taste it for real. We cook it perfectly. We taste it. And then out loud, you have to say 1 out of 10. And then I'll hear it. I'll be like, oh.
Why don't we just do that while we're alive?
Because I need that.
Oh, that's true. Not even a small portion of your thigh.
Just one bite? Like a little more?
Just like
why
a little.
Why is my mouth watering?
No!
Is yours?
A little bit. I'm like, ooh, what's this full taste like?
Oh, no.
Just cut a little bit.
You'll be like,
and then they can sew it back up.
Okay.
I'll give you my filet mignon.
Oh, a little medallion.
A medallion.
A little filet medallion. Yeah.
What part of my body doesn't affect my other parts, you think?
I feel like every part is needed.
I feel like you don't need, like,
oh, how about we eat
butt.
Each other's spleens? Huh? We both get them taken out, our spleens.
Is that, we need our spleens, right?
I don't think so.
Appendix. We don't need appendix.
Appendix.
Okay.
You know that I read an article on them. They don't. They were trying to figure out what the appendix for, and nobody knew.
Mm.
And everyone's like, "What is it for?" And they think we just evolved past it, like we needed it back in the day, and then we evolved past it. But then I could be completely wrong. But then they realized what it was. It was like a backup of good bacteria. It's like, oh, if you're fighting and they needed extra help, it would send out.
From the appendix.
It's like the backup. Yeah, it's like the cavalry.
Oh.
So it's like, go,
that's what I heard.
Go. Or I might be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, here's the plan.
Okay.
Statistically, one of us or both of us will probably have our appendix taken out at some point. Because my dad did.
My dad did too.
Your dad did too. I think it's very common to have to get your appendix out.
Okay.
We're going to take it from the hospital.
Can they do that?
I don't know.
You can be like, I guess you can make a special request. Like,
yeah,
oh,
you could.
Please.
I tried to keep my teeth when I got a tooth pulled or something like that. And I was like, can I have that? And they're like, no.
Why? That's you.
I don't know.
They're saying they own you.
I guess. It's probably like they get in trouble or something. I don't know. But we got to figure out how to get the appendix from the doctor.
That's only if we have to get it taken out.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of us will have to. And then we'll split it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll split it?
Yeah, we both try it.
So I'm eating myself too, or you're if eating yourself. If you want yourself. To. I could try. I'll try it. I don't think appendix would taste good though. I want like the good meat, like the thigh.
We gotta change the topic. My mouth is watering, it's freaking me out.
All right, that's
freaking me out.
Okay.
I've never felt so much in danger other than that time in my life. I was like, oh my God, dude, if I get stabbed, this will be the weekend I get stabbed. Yeah. Like I felt, that was how I felt not safe.
Yeah, okay. That organization, Showstar,
yep.
They were doing everything they could to make sure Deji won.
Wow.
Yeah, they were doing everything. I got there, I had the tiny hotel room, and I was like, I'm the main event. Why do I have a tiny hotel room?
Yep.
I go downstairs, and I ask if I can upgrade my room. They say, the last upgraded room was taken by Deji.
Wow.
And so he had a huge room. He had enough room to hit pads in the room. He had just like, it was nice. And I was stuck in this tiny room.
I remember.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
So little. And then the only place we could go hit pads was in one of the little conference rooms. I was like, hey, Showstar, can you provide us with space to hit pads? They're like, okay. They gave us this little tiny room. Yep. And like, you were there? You remember that?
I was there.
Yeah.
And like, it was, they were giving you trouble getting it too.
Yeah.
They're and like, then, okay, I guess. Yeah.
It was rough. And then we went to freaking, every time I went anywhere, they were like, oh yeah, we'll get you there. And then I went to the weigh-ins, which is right across the street. It's like 200 feet away from the hotel door.
Yep.
And we went to the weigh-ins, me and Deji, the main event, weighed in, the whole crowd's booing me, the whole crowd's throwing stuff at me. We weigh in, whatever, and then they start transporting all the fighters from the thing to the hotel. So they have bodyguards, and they hired the bodyguards for this event.
Sure.
And the bodyguard would escort one fighter, escort another fighter, escort like two fighters at once.
Yeah.
And then I was the last one, and they said, hey, wait, we'll take you at the end because you're getting the most hate. I was like, okay, cool. It comes up to my time. And they're like, okay, let's go. One of the workers at Showstar. And I was like, wait, where's the bodyguards? And then they're like, oh, they quit. And I was like, what? Wait, what? I was like, they quit? What do you mean they quit? What? They were just doing their job and they just decided to quit when it's my turn to go across? And they're like, yeah.
That's sketchy, bro.
So,
is that when we got egged?
Yes.
Because there were no bodyguards protecting us.
And they quit. They quit. I'll explain that later. So then I freaking am walking across. We're getting water balls thrown at us, rocks thrown at us, eggs thrown at us. Me and my friends are getting egged. And like, then everybody goes into protective mode. My coach puts my head down and just starts pushing me forward. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, wait, my friends. And he's like, no, you've got to get you out of here. This is why it's happening. So, okay. So then we got in the hotel. And then I was like, what? And then people were like breaking in, like coming through. People were holding them back, like, no. And they're like yelling at me. They're like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And I was like, what is going on? And I get to my hotel room, and I actually became friends with one of the bodyguards.
Yeah.
And I DM'd him. I was like, bro, what the f***? And then he texted me and said, yo, we randomly got fired. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, we're in the middle of transporting people, and the Showstar fired us. And I was like, what? And he was like, I don't know why. They didn't tell us. We're assuming it's a racial thing, but we just got fired. I'm so sorry. I heard what happened to you. I saw all the things. We should have been there. And I was like, what? And then I didn't see them again for the rest of the event. That's I think it's because they were helping me and they wouldn't comply to what Showstar wanted.
Whoa.
Crazy, right? This is the first time I'm saying this, but I'm just telling the truth. So.
Yeah, I remember I have the video of us walking.
Yeah.
And you and your coach just covering your head to protect you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was because they got fired.
Yeah.
Like mid-job.
Yes.
When it was your turn.
Yes.
That's so sketchy.
What? Just knew that their cash cow was Deji. If they could get Deji to win, it's their first event as a new, like, whatever. So they're like, we need Deji to win because he's from there. All the fans are there for him. If he wins, it's going to be everywhere. It's going to blow Showstar up.
Yep.
So then,
I did not know that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just like, they hated you. They hated US. I didn't know it was like a security guard issue. Yep. It was like rigged. They're trying to rig, like you said. They're trying to rig it.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know who was the only nice person to me? The whole only group of people that was nice to me throughout the whole thing when we were off camera.
What?
Deji and Coach Daly.
No way.
They were so nice. Like there was a couple times where like we were at the same hotel, so we would end up eating at the same place, and we'd be like, oh,
really? You guys are here? And they're like, yeah. Or we'd be at a restaurant down the street.
Yeah.
And they just happen to be there.
Yeah.
Super nice off camera. I think they felt bad because they knew what I was going through.
Yeah.
They knew the whole country was against
Damn.
Me. They knew it was my first fight. They knew that everybody was trying to make me crumble before I even get in the ring.
Yeah.
So I just had bad sleep that whole week. I was getting egged that whole week. I was getting sabotaged the whole week. Then yep. fight night comes.
Yep.
And I get to my locker room.
What? Oh my God. There's something in the locker room?
Yeah. I get to my locker room. My locker room has, my TV's not working. I was like, so I couldn't see what was happening. Everybody else's TV was working. I couldn't see what was happening outside. I was just kind of waiting for hours. And then my heater wasn't working. They put me in the locker room where with the only one where the heater wasn't working.
So it was
cold. I think there might have been a couple of other rooms, but the main event was put into a room that had no heater. And every hour wow. or so, they would send somebody to come look at it. They would come and tap it and be like, I'll come back. I'll work on that. They would, and then another person would come back. It's Dude. Not working. I don't know. So I'm in there shaking. I'm cold.
I remember it was cold freezing. And raining the whole weekend.
Freezing in yes. my room.
In your room, I can't imagine.
And I was like, and I'm just waiting for my turn to fight. And then I had like the fights happening on my little phone, and I'm just shaking. My coach and my team are putting towels on me. They're sitting next to me, pretty much cuddling with me, trying to get me warm. And I'm just shaking, waiting to fight.
Yeah.
And then they're finally like, okay. Your fight's coming up. Time to warm up. I was like, oh, okay. So then finally I'm moving around. I'm like, okay. I feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And then time for the ring walk.
Yep.
I walk out there. I'm pretty sure it was like 15,000 people.
Yep.
Every single body in that arena or stadium, whatever, was against me.
Dude, I remember you asked me to walk with you. I'm like, oh, God. This was like after we got egged. I was like, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm scared, but I'm act tough.
Yeah. It was crazy, right?
It was everybody.
Yeah.
I have never heard the word boo.
Yeah.
As loud as I did in that arena.
And I turned those boos into oohs and ahs. So when I was in the ring, it was crazy because I've been through so much in that week leading up to this. I'm like, finally, I'm in the ring. Finally, let's just get this done. And then we start fighting. And nobody would cheer for me.
Yeah.
All I ever heard was boo. And the only time I heard something else related to me that wasn't boo was ooh or oh. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was targeting. I was like, every time I hear that, that's what's going to fuel me.
Yeah.
So I was like, boom, land something. I would land something. And they're like, oh. And I was like, yeah, that's mine.
Yep.
And then he would swing and he would miss and they'd be like, oh. And I was like, that's mine. And then there was one point where I've never been in a boxing fight.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that I like to talk in there. Yep. And there was a point where we're in the middle and I'm kind of like feeling it. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, this is what it's like. Okay. I don't see the people around me. It doesn't matter. It's me and this guy. And they were like, Deji, Deji, Deji. And we're looking at each other and I was like, they're cheering your name, not my name. What are you going to do about it? And he was like, what? And I was like, they're not cheering Alex. Come on, show them something. And then he like shot a jab and I blocked it. And then I was like, do it again. And then he was like, what? I was like, do it again. And he did a jab. I was like, boom.
You baited him. See,
yeah, I baited him. And when he threw it out of anger, I was like, argh! And you could see, he's like, poof. If I look back at the footage, it'd be cool.
Yeah.
But and then a fan ran into the ring.
I remember that.
That was crazy. I thought I was going to get stabbed.
Yeah. I was confused.
Yeah. You can see that I'm completely focused on Deji. And when that fan runs in behind me, I see Deji just kind of put his hands down and look. And I was like, what? And then I saw like a figment in my peripherals. And I was like, oh, I'm about to get stabbed. So you see me jump and I face the guy immediately.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, who is this?
Yep.
And then he's talking. I can't hear what he's saying. And then a coach, I think it was Leon or somebody from Deji's team, picked this guy up and threw him out of the ring.
Yep.
And then my friend grabbed him and threw him to the ground and like punched him. And then it was crazy. And I was like, what? And then the first thing that popped in my head was, oh, is Deji okay? And I look at Deji and I'm like, are you okay? Because like so many things happening. I don't know if he like was going after Deji, if he was going after me. And Deji's like, I'm good. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I kind of relaxed and I was like, okay, do we still fight? And then I was like, what do we do? And then they like gave us like 5 minute rest because had to calm the crowd down. They had to calm down. They're like, if anybody does that again, we're going to have to end the fight. And then it was pretty much like starting the fight over again.
That must
and
be
I
nice.
Got, I got a feeling for what he wanted to do, what like his speed, his power in the first round. I was like, oh, I'm about to mess this guy up.
Mm.
But I just couldn't catch him. He was running.
I remember.
We went on a super far boxing tangent.
yeah. No, it's fine. This is your first boxing experience. It's special. Crazy. It's hostile.
Yeah.
I thought we were friends. And then he unfollowed me.
Why'd you unfollow her? Oh, because it's... Because, yeah, why did you unfollow her?
Because I liked her. It was obvious I liked her. We were like DMing on and off for like a year or something.
He would swipe up on something and I would just say something nice back. That's like really the extent of it.
She would start sometimes, but it was very platonic. But she would message me sometimes and be like, oh, what? How would you think of that movie? I loved it. Like that if I went to the movie or something.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't remember this, but
it was never anything bad.
Mm.
But it was more like a friend. You're just checking up on a friend.
Yeah.
So I unfollowed her.
Yeah.
And she messaged me and said, "Why did you unfollow me?" And I hit her with this line. And after this line, I didn't talk to her again for years.
How did you know he unfollowed you?
Well, he was one of always like the first names that would pop up on like my stories and stuff. I just noticed that he was. I don't know how quickly I noticed, but I definitely noticed at one point. I was like, oh, and then I think I still followed you. So I like saw you posted something, but then I was like, I don't think he's like seen any of my stuff. And so I like went on his profile and went to the following thing and he wasn't following me anymore. And I was like,
yep. So she said,
I was like, whoa,
why are you not following me? I said,
what'd you say?
I can't risk following for somebody that's not going to catch me. Didn't talk to her again for ever.
Like two years after that?
Yeah.
We didn't speak. Yeah.
Was that sincere?
Yeah.
Or it was just more like...
No, that was true, but also I was like, I'm gonna leave her with a line that she's never gonna forget. After I thought of that line, I was like, ooh, how is that not in a song? That's a great line. I'm not gonna risk...
What is your 1 year goal?
What is my 1 year goal?
In 1 year, where do you want it? What do you want? What do you think your life's gonna be? Oh, you're gonna be a pop.
I might be a dad, bro.
Whoa!
Yeah. I think I've been ready to be a dad since I was like 25, so.
I'm ready to be an uncle again.
Oh!
Let's go.
All right. That's my 1 year goal.
I have one niece.
Nice.
That's it.
About to be more.
All right.
From not me, but hopefully Aaron.
So what about work-wise? Where do you hope to be in a year?
Profitable.
Yeah. I'm gonna make it happen for you.
We'll make it happen.
Okay, here we go. You ready? I don't know what I'm about to pull out, but I'm about to pull out something.
Oh.
Our first merch. I can't believe this was in a box randomly in the back of my closet. Look at this. That's crazy.
That is our first ever merchandise.
Our first ever. This is crazy.
Dude.
This is before like even a thing. Like it wasn't really a thing. We were just like, we should have some kind of shirt. Like YouTubers didn't have merch yet.
Yes, dude. That is crazy.
Isn't it? That's crazy. Here, I was gonna give it to you.
No, this is yours, man.
No, it's ours, but you can hold. I'll take it in like 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. The rubber duck. Yeah.
Some deodorant stains from teenage years.
Dude, I remember. Do you remember?
Yeah, we made this.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, back in the day, our mascot was a duck because this symbol kind of looked like a duck, and we named it Waffles because we did a poll, and that was the number one name that everybody liked.
Yeah. Dang, bro.
What about this one?
That's triggering. That's awesome. Good trigger. Oh, that's an old one, too.
That's an old one, too.
Wow.
Whoa.
This is a Playlist Live vibes?
I think so. It was like Florida vibes, too. Like, we just...
Yep, smells like storage.
Smells like adolescence.
Hey, bro.
All right. Next question. Five-year goal.
Five-year goal. Jeez. Five-year goal. I want to move my parents here and my family.
To California?
Yeah.
You think they would?
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Like, because you did have a sibling living here and he moved back.
Mm-hmm.
You think they would all move here?
I think if the
I think if everything goes right, mm-hmm. yeah, they would move here.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Nice.
I would also like to, I want to sell things again, like how I did the subscription box mm-hmm. and stuff. I just like having stuff in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many kids do you think you'll have by then?
I don't know. Hopefully at least one.
Yeah. Do you have, how many do you want?
At least two.
Oh, okay. I'm sure by then you'll have one.
Yeah.
You want another thing?
Yeah, give me another one.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh! That's the VIP pass that let us get into Universal to do your favorite Wasabi Productions video ever we did.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is the VIP badge.
Yeah.
Backstory. What I have in my hand is a VIP pass for Despicable Me.
Despicable Me 2?
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't or remember one. That either.
I think it was one, bro.
No, one took off and we were promoting the second one.
Oh
yeah, and I forgot that too.
Okay, this is for this is a VIP badge for Despicable Me 2. Universal Studios invited Alex and I and a whole bunch of other creators to go and film whatever we want. We could have just filmed the vlog, mm-hmm. but we took it a next level and filmed the music video because you want good relations to anyone you're working with. Mm-hmm. So, and it turned out to be my favorite Richard and Rolanda video mm-hmm. you've ever filmed. It was just fun.
It was fun. And I like I can't remember what the storyline is, but I remember really liking it and working really hard on it because it was like a big video for us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we gotta make this one epic. And it did turn out to be epic. And they gave us minions that followed us around the entire yep. park. And that video has like 50 million views.
That's crazy. That we did, yeah. And the thing is, like, we didn't have a cameraman yep. or anything. So we just like hired our friends.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you film this for us?
I think we even like lied to Universal and be like, oh, we need a whole crew just so we could have some other friends. Yeah, like, you want to walk around? You want to?
Yeah, they ended up getting a VIP treatment too.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
they filmed. That's awesome.
I remember like we told two of them were like, if anybody asks, you're the bodyguards. And they're like, okay. yeah. okay. Just because we wanted our friends to have fun too.
Yeah.
And that was
wow.
fun.
Dang.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see if I have. I'm pretty sure my house back home has some tokens of the past somewhere.
10-year goal.
Be happy. I think that's ultimate goal, just happiness in general.
If you had to pick a financial number that you would like to hit, what would it be? For me, it would be cool if I reached $25 million in 10 years.
Dang.
I know it's a big goal, but it would be really cool.
I think I'm good now.
You think?
I think because the older I get, it's like more money, more problems kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want any more because it just causes more problems.
Yeah.
And it just strays away from like true happiness.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
Take it all.
Take it all?
Take all my money.
No,
break this wall so I can fix it.
Well, no, money is the number one stressor in the world. So everybody says money can't buy happiness. And I agree mostly. But also, it takes off so much stress on your family, on your life, on your kids, on everything. If you just have means.
Yeah. Money can only buy security and comfortability.
Which cannot buy happiness. It can't buy happiness.
It can lead to happiness if you do it real correctly.
It helps you get to happiness. Yeah. Yeah.
Celebrity deaths. Any of those hit you hard?
Like super hard?
Yeah. Like Kobe or
Steve Irwin, actually.
That was a surprise.
I was young and I really loved Steve Irwin when I was young. And when he died, I remember the morning. I was like, oh my goodness. So I was just trying to figure out and find videos of his death.
Yeah.
As a young child.
That was an unexpected one.
Yeah.
You heard the whole story, like how it went down?
The stingray?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. What happened?
Well, this is what I remember, but it was so long ago. And when people say, oh, you were our childhood. Steve Irwin was our childhood.
Mm.
Like it was him. And then he was just floating in shallow water at the beach looking for stingrays. He found one. And I guess he was swimming over it and then it just stung him in the chest, I think multiple times. Like,
oh.
Bah, 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 bah. And he's very in tune with how animals work. And
yeah.
So he apparently stood up looked at his cameraman, looked at his chest, and said, I'm going to die.
Oh, wow.
Because he knew what just happened. He knew how venomous it was. He knew where he got hit, and he said, I'm going to die. And then he died.
Oh, my God. That's tragic.
Yeah, that's from what I heard. That's how it went down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a big one. And then 9/11. Where were you for that?
9/11?
You were probably fourth grade, third grade? I was in fifth grade.
I was fifth grade. I didn't know what was happening. I just remember 9/11 happened and they went home and then my dad was like, yo, look at this. Look what happened. Like, whoa. But I was in fifth grade. I didn't really have any concept of what just happened. Like, oh, the crash in the building. Yeah. These people died. Oh, I don't know them. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, crazy. Yeah. But now looking back, I'm like, that was devastating.
I was very young. I was in school and I remember the teacher was like in a panic. Like, what is going on? And she turned the TV on, the news channel, for all these kids. And we're watching. And you just see all this coverage. You see, it's like it already happened. It just happened, but they're replaying what happened. The smoke and all the towers and the impact and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the second impact. And my teachers are crying. And the kids were just confused. They didn't really explain. I think, because like imagine you're a teacher and something this drastic happens, historically happens, and you don't know what to do. Yeah. Like you're like, oh, am I supposed to show the kids? Am I not? But you want to, it's part of life. Like you have to be up to date. So she turns it on. We're all watching. And at this time, as a little kid, in my little kid brain, I thought we were watching a movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize this was happening in real life. Mm-hmm. So it's panic. And then I think school got out, like they told, like all the parents came to get their kids like before school ended. And my aunt picked me and my cousins up and we get in the car and my aunt or uncle in the driver's seat was like, did you see what happened? And I'm like, what? And then they explained what happened. And that's where I was like, whoa, what? Oh, uh-huh. That was real? That really happened?
Yeah.
And that was just crazy to experience, to live through.
Dude, she did not want me to leave Wasabi.
Mm.
Zero.
Yeah, I like was so against it. I'm like, this is so stable.
Why, like the last straw before we broke up or like how he brought it up?
Mm.
I think, oh, there was one time he posted a vlog in Gainesville in a car. I remember that. I got so mad at him for posting that and filming. I'm like, that is so passive. Do you know how ridiculous that is?
What did I say?
You're just like,
he said, oh, man, I'm just burnt out, man.
Yeah.
Everything you see on Wasabi, 95% of Wasabi, so, I do everything. Alex does nothing. And then I was like,
I know.
What?
I said that. You did.
Something like that. Very close in those lines. And I was
angry, bro. Sorry.
I know. And then I remember, because you started vlogging, but I would watch them every once in a while. But then I just nonstop, all my tweets were, oh, look at this. Look what Roy said. All the Instagram, everything was sending me that. And then I called you and I was like, hey, or I text you or something. I was what was that about? And then your response was, LOL, I didn't even know you watched my vlogs.
Yeah, I don't know why you said that because that was messed up.
I don't know. I was just like, I really don't know.
But
why
he was very frustrated and very burnt out. Yes. And at that point, you guys weren't even friends, you know, you guys were just like business acquaintances, but you didn't want to admit that you weren't friends. It's a very weird place to be, but that it wasn't his smartest move posting that. It was not very, very sensitive.
I've done that with texts where I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't send that text after like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
I think about it, I'm like, oh, why did I do that? I just made it so awkward.
Yeah. I should have just chilled.
Yeah, but there was also like other stuff going on too, and like you guys were just acclimating to like life in LA, and I guess that's how you guys saw how different you were and how you guys were flourishing and growing apart.
Well, I remember the text, and then you said, "Elo, I didn't know you watched." I was like, "Yeah, I watched, but I didn't have to watch this one because everybody sent it to me," and then you were like, "We need to talk when I get back. I wanna leave Wasabi Productions." And I was like, okay, but why did you post a video? And then let's not change the topic yet. And then he was like, I just told you I wanna leave and you wanna talk about other things? And I was like, I can't just not talk about this thing that everybody's like sending me.
Yeah.
And then you were like, whatever, we'll just talk when I get there. And then we went to PF Chang's.
You guys did go to the PF Chang's.
We did. Oh my gosh. Damn, yeah. I was not in a good place.
He was not in a good place with that. And he was hearing it on my end too. And I think it's just a lot of like, he already had his mindset on where mm-hmm. he wanted to go. And I mean, he did make a really great thing from it after he left, but it did sever the friendship.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I think we're better friends now than yeah. we were even before we started having problems before.
Mm.
So like even in the early days before we started butting heads.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You think?
I think so now.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
yeah.
we're matured, and I think just not seeing you and missing you, I just yeah. miss, like, you know, there was Alex, and yeah. I realized how important he is in my life, and mm-hmm. I think that's what drew me closer. Like, oh man, I can't take you for granted because I already did what I did, so this is where I am, and is there any way to fix it? Kind of thing. It's where we are now.
I remember we started like collabing a little bit, like years ago. And then right before you called me that one time on Christmas or Thanksgiving, and I was like, what do you think about getting back together? I'm like, what? Before that, we were like started clapping a couple times more, and I would always come here and be like, yo, this is so fun. Whenever you guys need me, anytime, I'll be here because it's just so fun. And then you called me and I'm like, hey, can I run something by you? And I was like, yeah. I thought it was like a video idea or something. And I was like, why is he calling me like on Christmas? And I just thought, and like, we always text, we never call. And then I answered, he was like, yo, let's get back together. I was like, okay.
Yeah, dude.
And he's like, that's yeah. it? Like, you're done? I'm like, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean,
just refreshing. I just said it because, yeah, we did collab, and every time we collab, it was just you just brought in like a very familiar and refreshing energy.
Yeah.
And then I was like, dang. And then when I did like guava juice and just kept doing the guava juice stuff, it just Solo. Felt stale over time.
Let's talk about how you started YouTube, your individual journeys.
Mm.
I think you were trying to be an actress first, right? And Aaron was trying to be a pharmacist.
You want to go first?
I think mine's a lot easier than yours.
You go first.
I was in college trying to figure out whatever I wanted to do, and I was making videos.
Where were you at?
At UNC Charlotte.
That's right.
So I was at UNC Charlotte, and you came by for a party, you and Jeremy.
I did, yeah, we did.
And I showed you one of my videos. I was like, hey, I did this. And you're like, you should post this. And I was like, you think so? He's like, yeah, just post it. Just post anything on YouTube. Just do it.
You got to start somewhere.
You just got to do it.
Yeah.
So I did it, and then I was like, okay, I got to come up with a channel name. And you were like, and I regret, I shouldn't have did it. He was like, do Lazy Ron. And I was like, what? Why Lazy Ron? You're like, because it sounds cool.
He was lazy at the time. We were both lazy. Like, I was sleeping in all the time. He was sleeping. We loved to sleep.
So and I was like, Lazy Ron. That's been like the most question. Why Lazy Ron? I was like, my brother told me to do it.
It was a cool name. It was better than what we had at the time.
Yeah.
we couldn't think of anything else. And Lazy Ron sounded cool.
Anyways, I started doing that. And before I knew it, YouTube got to a point where it was paying more than what I wanted to do from school. And then Alex was like, you should come out to California, live out here, have fun. And then
I was like, my boyfriend just broke up with me, you can move in with me.
No, when I moved out here, you guys were still together.
So you were in the messy stuff.
He was in the messy stuff.
Yeah, because my girlfriend at the time.
How dare you didn't think of your future wife?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
So I moved out here with my girlfriend at the time, and she lived with
she lived with you. Roommate.
Roommate. And then so I'd go back and forth. So we were walking distance too.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we became roommates, and then now we're here.
There you go.
Yep.
And then you started doing YouTube, and then you switched it from Lazy Ron to Aaron Burris.
Yeah.
Right?
My manager was like, you should do that. And I was like, can I do that? She's like, yeah.
Well, I was thinking more like Lazy Ron. I thought you could be like relatable lazy. Mm-hmm. Like, show them stuff. And then people would be like, oh, that's just like me. And that's what I was thinking. And then he's just like, everyone thinks I'm lazy. So and I was like, all
right. Everybody's like, you don't seem lazy. I was like, I'm not.
Let's talk about YouTube hate. How you deal with that?
Oh, man. I actually got my first glimpse of YouTube hate in the last month.
It got bad.
Huh?
It was really, okay, before it was really interesting.
Before we tell you what happened, something happened and she got a TikTok made about it. And how many views did she get?
It's at almost 10 million views.
Wait, what?
10 million views on a TikTok about the YouTube hate she's been getting.
Yeah.
What happened? Why people hate you?
Oh, you about to find out.
There's no reason to hate you.
Well, that's the thing, right? I went on David's channel. And I did a video where you have to like debate, right? And so he gives you these sort of like scenarios, and whether you believe in whatever topic he gave you to argue about, whether you believe in it or not, you have to debate it. Mm-hmm. I get very heated when I debate.
Sure.
When I was younger, I wanted to be a lawyer. When I got older, I was like, I don't want to do that. But when I was younger, I really wanted to be a lawyer because I would just get very passionate. So I'm still like that. When I debate about things, I get very passionate. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we were doing this debate, and one of our friends, her name's Tara Yummy, love her, by the way. Like she has always been, from the moment I met her, she has always been so sweet to me. I wouldn't say we were necessarily super close. Like, you know, I would see her every now and then at like events or like, you know, at a video or something random. I know a couple Taras in real life.
Every T-A-R-A I know in the world is Tara.
It's Tara.
So it's obviously confusing that there's somebody named Tara. So it's like, oh, okay, I have to call you something I haven't called any other Tara in my life.
Mm-hmm. My heart's racing. So in the video, I was just like debating and I mispronounced her name twice.
Oh.
And she corrected me, which I'm happy she did, right? Yeah. Like I have no, like she was like, it's Tara. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, Tara. And you know, I did it one more time after that. And I felt really bad. And of course those videos get really cut up. They never caught me being like, I'm so sorry. Like I did not mean to mispronounce your name. And I felt really bad, but I knew Tara's. And so I'd gotten her name wrong a couple times, and the way it was clipped together, it just didn't look good on my part.
And then the person that she was debating against on the other team, she was like, me and Tara are friends. I consider her a friend, right?
And then Tara said yes. Tara. Tara and said yes.
The opponent said, you don't even know her name. And then that got clipped and it has 10 million views on TikTok.
And people just, they thought I did it on purpose. And the problem is they don't know me, right? Yeah. They don't know Alexis.
What would your last words be before you pass away? Like,
I think,
knowing you were going to pass away.
Like surrounded by family and friends.
Yes.
I think if I was laying in bed.
Don't eat me. I'm kidding.
If I was laying in bed and my family and everybody's around me, I would say, look over there.
No, you would not. No, you would.
I'd be like, okay, bye.
Stop, bro. I guess.
I'd be like, if you're not smiling, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Mine would be something to comfort everybody that it's okay. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe something in the words like, if I'm not here, I'll be watching over you guys, making sure everybody's okay, or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I just want, the thing I'm scared of most of death is how people would feel. And like I said earlier, I can't control that, but I can control how people react to it. Like, I would want them to know it's okay.
Yeah.
And continue to live your life, and I will always be there watching.
Yeah.
And then whenever you fall asleep, I'm going to tickle your toes. My dad would tell us as kids. Yeah. I remind you, we were kids. When I die, I'm going to go haunt you and tickle your toes and let you know it's me. I'm like, bro, no. I'm 8.
I think if it'd be hard because I'd probably want to just make specific speeches for everybody.
Yep.
And everybody leave the room except for you. But then I can't make it for everybody. And then the people I didn't make speeches for would be sad that I didn't. So I think I would probably do a group speech.
Yeah.
Because I'm a speech guy. I like putting my feelings in words, thinking about it, and then failing at getting them out because I start crying.
Yeah.
But that's probably how I would go. Mm. Hopefully I'm all there mentally so that I can be there. But if it's something like that where like I'm mentally going, I'll probably do it early. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, I'm gonna write the speech early.
Yeah.
Maybe have somebody else read it for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. But last words, man, that's crazy thoughts.
Those last words. I guess I could say it here just in case anything unexpected happens to me from now until my death. To my family watching, my friends, I just want to say
I am glad and honored to know you. But I know I'm not here right now, but I just want to let you know that I am very happy I've met you in my life, and I want you to continue living your life to the fullest, and I will be there watching from wherever I am, and I will support you, and I will see you soon.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I told my girlfriend one time, I think I'm going to die soon. She did not like it.
Why do you say
that? It was just
that?
A passing thought. I was like, hey, feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm going to die soon. And she was like, what? Don't say that. And I was like, okay, all right. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I just random thought popped in my head. I felt like I was going to.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Momentum mori is the term for it, where just you're doing something normal and then boom, think about death.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like that. I don't know why.
What do you think happens after we die?
I have no idea. I think, I do think there's something after death, but I like to think in the state of there is nothing, because then you live your life more full.
Mm.
You're like, oh, okay, this is all you have. So I try to live this life the best I can and then prepare for whatever's next.
Yeah.
I'll just try to live that life as best I can. But as for now, I just want to live the best, make the best impact on the world that I can, even though we're minuscule little particles of dust in this universe.
Mm.
I like to think that we've had combined 13 billion, 14 billion views. And I feel like I like to think at least 50% of that, we made somebody's life better. We made them laugh and we never even met them. We reached into their life and we impacted it in a good way.
Yep.
That's I just want to leave it better than I came into it.
Yeah, you know the gravestones with the dash.
Yeah,
yeah. You heard that analogy? It's like the date of your birth is that number, and then the date of your death is the other number, but the dash in between is the life you lived.
Oh,
you heard of that?
Yeah, no.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Like, oh, that's great.
The important thing is the dash.
The dash.
Don't worry about the numbers.
Oh wow, dash.
That's good.
Let me tell you this before you continue. When we started walking to where I was going to propose to Monette,
your legs
the
beach,
I was like, oh God, oh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to say this? How am I going to say this? And when we got to the spot, Marlon was with us and he brought his drone and he just started flying it. Oh, it's got a new drone. I'm just
testing it out.
So obviously that didn't help.
And then our friend with the big camera was taking pictures of like his wife being like, I'm just testing this out. It's sunset. And I was like, guys, this is so obvious. I just sat there like,
I know.
I'm just waiting for this to happen.
I was like, shoot, this
is too obvious. So you had stuff planned in your head to say?
I did.
How much came out legibly? Or like
2%. Probably 2%.
I also made it very hard for you.
She made it very hard because she knew.
I knew.
She knew it was happening.
I was so embarrassed already. Yeah.
And
I felt so embarrassed.
She's like, she doesn't like attention.
No.
Yeah.
So
how many people were there all together?
Like five.
Oh,
six.
Not that bad. And then nude people.
And then the nude people.
And then nude people, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was trying to pull her aside to get to the spot where Ian told me to go.
Why?
But then
I didn't want to go.
Why was that a specific spot?
It's pretty
for the
background.
Photos.
Oh,
yeah.
For the photos.
Oh, okay.
I was
okay,
like, come,
okay.
come. She's like, no.
I didn't want to go.
No, no.
Why?
Because I was so embarrassed and nervous because I just hate attention. And I was just like, I wish he would just propose and just get it over with. Like,
yeah,
I want to
be
engaged, but I don't want the intention that comes with it.
Yep.
But I did make it hard. I'm sorry.
30 minutes went by. I was like, oh, all right. So I just like told everyone just to start walking back and I'll probably just propose when they're like farther away. And that's when I did it. And then I looked over them. They started running back
to take photos and
then
everything.
I knelt to my knee. I had
Which knee? Is there a specific
left.
Knee you're supposed to do?
I think left, right?
Are you supposed to?
Yeah, I think so. Left Ooh. Means like
there,
you're
there's
weak,
a knee. I forgot what it
knee.
Is.
So you're bending your weak knee? For what's that? What's the reason for
know.
That?
I don't know. I don't know. It's probably some Roman Empire thing.
Okay.
But like, I had like this whole script ready. So as soon as I knelt, everything was just gone.
Oh,
I did not remember the whole script. I was like, man.
Yeah. Started crying immediately?
Well,
yes.
he was standing and he wasn't crying. And I watched him go down and immediately, like as he knelt, all of a sudden, bawling. Like it was so fast.
I love his crying face because it's like,
yeah,
it's a lot.
It's ugly, man.
He's staring at me
cry.
With his crying
ugly
face.
It's just very expressive.
It's
so expressive.
Ugly. I have an ugly crying
no,
face. Alex, I have an ugly
funny,
crying
though,
face.
It's funny though because you super cry.
It was endearing,
like,
though.
I can marry that? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you pretty much stuttered through the whole thing, and then how did you, what were the words, the specific words to say? Was it, will you marry me?
Yeah,
or
will,
like,
you marry me?
Oh, okay.
I think I said I want to spend the rest of my...
He was very uncute. We don't know what he said. It was, like, not coherent. It didn't make any sense.
There's no footage either, or audio of it.
No,
there,
because
is footage, yeah.
But there is
no
footage.
No audio.
Oh, yeah. Because our friends were running back because they knew that, like, they're like, she's not going
to
bite.
You should have put your phone on, like, record just to hear the words.
I don't think you wanted to hear what he said because it made no sense. Yeah, it made no sense.
You were like, mm-hmm.
She cried too, so...
I did, because I was just watching him bawl his eyes out. I'm like, oh my gosh, this must be so hard for him. So it made me cry.
Aww.
And then I just said yes. And then I was like, okay, let's get out of here. Like, this is a lot of attention.
So wait, you said yes. And then did you, like, kiss, or did you pick her up and spin around like in the movies? Or she just said yes. And then you put the ring on? That's what you do, right?
What did we do?
She said yes, put the ring, and then we kissed.
For the first time.
Oh!
We're joking.
I feel like my right knee is the move, man. I feel like it'll be easier. Like, this feels awkward.
Just go on both knees and have the ring on your mouth.
No, don't do that. Don't
go on my stomach and I do like a half moon kind of proposal.
Or you could just be normal about it and just
go
on one knee and then just make it normal.
But any knee is fine.
I don't know
these things.
You could Google it. What's the right knee for?
Let's see if it signifies anything.
This is the left knee. The right knee.
What's the correct knee?
I don't know.
The right knee is the correct knee because it's right.
Your left knee should be up.
Dang it.
Left knee.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I got to practice that.
So you should practice. Do you want to practice right now for everyone watching?
Yeah, let me try.
Oh, and then children have kidneys.
Okay, Alex is going to practice his.
Oh, this feels so right. What's the significance? Why? It just says. Because
you can take off running with that one.
The ring box is in your left
you
hand,
can take
and
off
the box
running.
Should be open with your right hand.
Even with that, it feels
Wait, flip the other way.
No, it says your left knee should be on the ground.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. That.
Oh, that's yes. You did it wrong.
And then
I did it right.
Oh, you put left knee down.
I did this.
For everyone. Yeah. Oh, okay. They're on the ground right now for everyone listening.
Okay. I think I had it wrong in my head. I was thinking... I don't know. Okay, yeah. Okay, that's perfect. That's what I want. Okay.
But yeah.
Anything else I should know?
No, that's it. You know, just enjoy the day.
Be yourself. Yeah, enjoy the moment.
Enjoy the moment, dude. Do it as soon as possible. If the day of, just do it. Because I had to wait all day. That thing, I think I cried so much because I was just so stressed out.
You were really stressed, yeah.
So a morning is better.
And then after that, good luck wedding planning.
Oh, yeah. How long was your engagement?
2 years.
Oh, 2 years.
Oh, that's a good... I think longer engagements is good.
I love Alexis.
It's so sweet.
It's so great. I'm so happy.
You want me to marry her?
Absolutely.
When? She keeps telling me, is he going to propose yet? Propose. Tell him to propose. Well, tell him to propose
right
now.
You.
It's so, I know you can't. We've talked about this.
I can't. I can't tell you.
I'm gonna,
you're going to tell your wife. If you tell anybody that has a wife, they're going to tell their wife.
But we got to know.
There's so many secrets I haven't
told
her. I can tell Roy.
And then you can tell
Who's he going to tell?
I have so many secrets I haven't told her.
So you can tell me. I was so delayed. I was waiting. I looked over waiting and she's like,
you can tell me. I won't tell her.
No, I can't.
Well,
it's
when
okay.
The
it'll
time
be a surprise
comes,
for all of you.
When the time comes, we're gonna have a lot of great times together.
Aww.
When we're all together.
I feel like this is the trifecta. Like, our kids are gonna grow up together, and we're like, us three are gonna help each other out. Like, I told Roy, we should make this agreement too. Whenever, no matter what, if like the baby wakes up at 2 a.m. and you're taking care of the baby, and Ronnie has to get up early for something, and you're like, oh, I need this from the store. You can always call me and I'll drive over there and I'll be like, oh, come on. Okay.
Do we want that?
I don't know.
That's what I said to you. I was like, that's a lot of responsibility.
I was like, I need reinforcement. Like, because you're not going to want to, but if you ever need somebody to do something and you have no other choice, then you can be like, Alex, and I'm like, go.
I might ask Roy.
I don't know. I think maybe we'll have like a tally going. So like you can't ask two times back to back without the other person asking.
No favors.
Yeah, so if you ask me, you have to wait till I ask you for you to ask me again. But you always have Roy do.
I think this is a lie. It's too confusing.
Oh, yeah, we can be like the teachers.
It's a good idea. Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So when are you guys getting engaged?
Whoa!
You said Beyonce, so you want to elaborate? Yeah, yeah, I know. How much did you talk about it? Teach me.
We talked about it.
We've big time talked.
We've talked about it enough where I'm not afraid to ask the question.
I think I've just tried my best with him, just because I do feel like it gets brought up a lot.
Who? What?
No, just like everybody brings it up.
Oh yeah, everywhere I go.
And I've just tried like every single time after. I just kind of like, when we get home and we're just like talking about our day, I'm like, hey, by the way, there's no pressure. I want you to do it when you feel good and ready, and we feel good and ready, and you know, just so that he doesn't feel the pressure. And if he does, it's not coming from me.
Oh yeah, for sure. As far as like, if you were to give advice to someone who hasn't talked to their girlfriend about engagement, me, like when how I didn't talk, what advice would you give?
I don't know. I couldn't imagine proposing and not already knowing the answer. I have no idea. I'm not nervous to ask. But I am waiting until we're more settled, because we're renting right now. We're gonna move like in the next month or two. There's a lot of moving parts. But once everything kind of slows down. I don't want to give any hints away. It's just like the butthole thing. I'm not going to show you my butthole until we get married. So there's still some mystery in our relationship. So I can't give you a timeline of when I'm going to propose so that there's still mystery in our relationship. Why do you want to see my butthole, you weirdo?
I'm going to marry that butthole.
I haven't seen his butthole either.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
It's just the only thing you haven't seen on my body. And I like to keep it.
But what about me? You've seen everything.
I have.
He's seen everything.
Yep.
Oh,
I helped her fart the other day, and I got my face all up in there.
You did. Yeah. You did.
Gotta really get used to it at some point.
Yeah.
The biggest death in your life.
The big D. I don't think we were friends throughout this part of my life, but I don't think we really talked about it.
I didn't know how to approach you.
Yeah.
I just kind of just were there. I was just there to be there for you.
Yeah.
Without actually talking about or mentioning it. I'm like, all right, how's he doing?
All right, here we go. This is the closest death I've encountered, and there was something you did that I was like, oh, that's super nice. And then there's one part of the story that I might cry, but I'm gonna try not to.
Sure.
So I am on vacation, or I'm like 6 or 8 hours away somewhere, visiting some, I think we got a cabin or something, me and my family, and we're packing up, the vacation is over, we're about to head back, and I get a call from my friend, and he's like, hey man, you gotta come back. And this is, I'm not gonna say names, but this is a friend, and then there's another friend that it happened to, and it was like us three were like the main friend group. So he calls me, and he knew I was the closest with the guy.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, man, you got to come back. And I was like, oh, yeah, man. Oh, well, yeah, we're packing up right now. We're about to head back. And he's like, no, you need to hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And he's like, it's our friend.
Did it hit you? Like, you already knew what happened when he said that?
No.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, he got in a motorcycle accident. And I said, okay, because he's gotten in little fender benders before. He newly got a motorcycle, probably within a year of getting the motorcycle, this happened.
Yeah.
And he would come home and be like, oh, this is crazy. Oh, I almost got hit by this. Oh, I had to jump the curb here. And I was like, oh, that's crazy, man. Be careful. Don't be crazy. And he's like, okay. And he said, he's in the hospital, bro. It's not looking good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean it's not looking good? I've never dealt with death. So I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? He's going to go to the hospital. That's what hospital's for. You get better and you get out.
Mm.
He said, no, it's looking really bad. And then I told my dad and my brother, I was like, we got to go. He said, okay. So we have to, knowing this information, I was probably 22, 23.
Yeah.
We get in the car, and just sporadically throughout the 6 or 8 hours, I would just start crying. Mm-hmm. And Aaron too. Because Aaron is pretty close to him too. That's my older brother. And he would randomly start crying. And you can tell my dad
like, we're his kids. He's never had to deal with this with his kids. So he's just trying to be there for us, but he's also crying because his kids are crying. And he's like, whoa, like, it's happening. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. He just, none of us saw it coming.
Yeah.
So we get back to the hospital, back to, I think UNC is where we're at, and, or maybe Duke. I think we're at Duke.
Duke,
and
yeah.
I'm walking up to the floor, and the friend that called me comes around the corner, and I just break down. I just cry. I was like, he's kind of holding me up because I like just drop.
Yeah.
And then we went, we saw the family and everything, and then they're like, do you want to go see him? And I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's unconscious. And we go into the room, and he's just hooked up to all these things. He has all these stitches. His head was shaved because he had to have all these stitches in his head. And they said that he was driving home. I think it was like middle of the night because he was a bar back. So he would be like helping close everything at the bar. And then he was driving home, and he was riding his motorcycle. And I guess a pickup truck came out of a gas station, and he was going pretty fast, faster than he should have been going. And he hit the side of the truck so hard that he left knuckle prints in the metal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And he flew off. He flew like 50 feet. His helmet flew off, and he just rolled. And then they got him to the hospital, and I got there. And it was awkward because I actually dated his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So we became best friends. I dated his sister for a year, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we became best friends. So we stayed friends after. And then we ended up being roommates before we moved in together.
Yeah.
We moved in together. And then a few months after we moved in together, this happened.
Yeah.
And so the sister was there. I haven't seen her in forever, but we're fine. But the mom didn't know how close me and her son were.
Yep.
She just thought I was the ex. So she thought it was weird that I was there. So she didn't like that I was there.
Oh.
And so I wanted to stay the night in the waiting room and just sleep on the chair.
Yeah.
And she requested that I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so they told me to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I could come back tomorrow. And some people were staying, and I couldn't do it. So I just went to my car in the parking garage and slept in the car.
Yeah.
Until I could come back in the morning. And then the next morning, she pulled me to the side and said, "Hey, I'm so sorry that we didn't let you stay last night. I didn't know how close you were, but when I asked you to leave, everybody said, hey, this is the number one person that he would want to stay here."
Oh.
So after that, he was in there for like a month, never woke up, and I would stay there every night. And I would stay there all day and then sleep there at night and then greet the people to come visit the next day. And then I ended up being the one, be like, hey, I'll take you in there. I know it's hard to see him in this way, but
yeah.
I've been here. I can help you. So I was just dealing with all these people crying, and I was pretty much out of tears at this point. And I remember like they started like a GoFundMe or something. And I asked you, I was like, hey, Roy, is it cool if Wasabi donates this amount of money? And you're like, bro, whatever you need, you can donate as much money, help out. Like, you can do anything. And that was really nice. I was like, oh, thank you. So then after a month of him being in there and me just staying there, he got transferred to hospice.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in hospice for a few weeks. And they had to pull the plug because the parents were like, they both worked in the medical field, or the dad was a cop, the mom was a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, like she was trying to keep everybody's hope, like not trying to like shoot everybody down, but she was also trying to be realistic and be like, guys, like we've spent like a lot of money, probably over $100,000, trying to keep him going. Hospice is very expensive. Hospitals are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And all that stuff. So they, like, we have to pull the plug. And of course, a lot of the friends and people were like, no, just give him more time. But now looking back on it, they were right. They did the right thing. They're like, it wasn't going to change anything. Mm-hmm. So then he passed away. They pulled the plug at hospice in Durham. Mm-hmm. And they had the funeral and everything. And then it was okay because it wasn't like, boom, he's gone. Mm-hmm. We had time to like get used to the fact, to come to the realization, like, this is life.
Yeah.
It was probably like a 2-month time span of when the accident happened to when they pulled the plug and then the funeral. But this messed me up for a while, but now I'm past it. Now I'm like, okay, it wasn't my fault. Cause everybody thinks that it's partially their fault.
Yeah.
So he got out of the military. And when a lot of people in the military, they buy like a cool car, like a sports car. And so he got this really expensive sports car and he was always complaining about money. He's like, man, I need more money. I need more money. I was like, bro, you don't need the sports car. Why don't you just sell that and get a normal car? Mm-hmm. And that way you'll have like $10,000-$20,000 that you can like use. And he was like, okay. So I talked him into doing that. He sold the sports car. He got another, just like a Honda Civic or something. Mm-hmm. But also, he missed the speed, so he bought a motorcycle.
Along with the Civic.
Mm-hmm. And I always thought, if I didn't talk him into selling that sports car, But I don't think it's my fault. It's just stupid motorcycles, man.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was your fault either, man.
Yeah. But, hold on.
Yeah.
Yep, that was my closest brush with death. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I would cry.
No, that's...
Dang it, this is the second time I cried in the first four podcasts. It's not your fault,
man.
Yeah, so that was the biggest brush with death, but that's why...
Yeah,
I feel like death makes you stronger. Like, even though it sucked, like all the stories we talked about in this pod, it just makes you stronger. Like, I couldn't imagine having to go through that without experiencing any kind of it. At least I got it out of the way early. I got that life experience, and now I'm stronger now, and I'm better prepared for it when it happens again, which it inevitably will. But
it sucks every time you have to do
it. Yeah, it sucks every time. And it never gets easier. But at least you know what to expect.
Yeah.
This dude.
What?
You just have random thoughts.
Yeah, and you got your job really back in.
You know what he said earlier?
He's like, you ever smell a cow and you feel like eating him?
I'm like, what? What did you think of that? No, I have never smelled a cow like, oh, you're gonna be a good beef.
No! I meant in the sun. Like, if you smell, it's a hot day, you walk by a cow field.
No! Never! I always smell a pig.
Good bacon.
Yeah.
No!